It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is a moment of Shakespeare.
By innocence, I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth.
That's from the Shakespeare play Twelfth Night, performed there by Kristen Yates of the Starling Shakespeare Company. They're a migratory theater troupe that travels the Great Lakes region, giving free performances of Shakespeare in the park.
We caught up with Starling performers in Ripon, where they just kicked off their season. Jessie Lillis is an actor and director. She's the producing artistic director and co-founder of Starling Shakespeare Company. And Kristen Yates is a professional stage actor. It's her first season with the company. Jessie and Kristen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, Jessie, you first, as you've been rehearsing in Ripon, just had your first performance of the season a couple weeks back. How is it going?
Really well. It's always such a treat to get to come back. I went to undergrad in Wisconsin at Ripon College, so it's such a delight to get to come back many moons later with the Shakespeare Company. But it's been really nice to get to come back, and it's always such a warm welcome from the community and the town and everybody we get to interact with here.
And Kristen, you've performed with other Shakespeare companies. This is your first summer touring with Starling. What has it been like so far for you?
It's been such a treat. I am very excited to be here. I learned about Starling through some really close friends who I've worked with at other Shakespeare companies, and they spoke extremely highly of the company and of Jessie. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to audition. And so I'm just really grateful to be here and experience how they approach Shakespeare, which is in a very approachable way for the actor. And the process has been very mindful about making sure that the actors have the ability to express themselves artistically and bring themselves to Shakespeare.
That must be so important, too, not just to have the accessibility and that modern look at Shakespeare, but also to bring your personal influences and your personal take to what Shakespeare is. Kristen, it sounds like you're able to do that.
Yeah. It's definitely something where we're not hiding who we are. It's not a thing of, oh, you know, you have to fit what, you know, for example, because we're doing Twelfth Night as one of the shows, you have to fit this idea of Viola. I, as Kristen, get to bring myself to Viola. So Viola, my version of Viola, has a lot of Kristen in it, which is really lovely because I think it makes it so that Shakespeare will always be new and interesting because whoever's playing the roles, it will be slightly different every time. So it's really exciting to get to discover who my Viola is.
Jessie, you co-founded Starling. This was back in 2020. What inspired you to start this theater company? And I'm thinking about 2020 as the pandemic year.
Yeah, I mean, it was, in retrospect, a little bit of a wild time to be starting a theater company when theater wasn't really existing. But I guess for context, so my co-founder, Heron Kennedy, and I, we finished our Masters of Fine Arts, our MFAs, in 2020. And we were sort of looking around at a lot of theaters that we had, you know, previously been planning on auditioning for and hoping to work with, and seeing a lot of those places unfortunately have to close their doors, often for kind of COVID-related financial issues, or there's a lot of upheaval happening in many industries, but especially in theater at that time. I had gone into my master's program knowing that eventually I wanted to start a company, but I honestly thought that would probably be, you know, 20, 30 years down the road before I did it. But it was sort of a confluence of events of getting, finally having a chance to take a break and think about, you know, what things are important to me as an artist. What are the sorts of things that I want to be making? Where are the places that I'm seeing needs for theater? And a lot of it for me, I'm from a small town in the Midwest, and I was thinking about, you know, as a kid, I was lucky in that I had access to a lot of theater and arts. I'm from a really artistic family, but I know a lot of people that didn't have that. And so I fell in love with Shakespeare at a pretty young age, but I know also that people sometimes have a bad experience with that, whether it's through, you know, English classes or seeing a show that they didn't like, or, you know, watching a movie interpretation that didn't land with them. So my sort of thought with starting Starling was that, you know, we can bring these really classic stories directly to people where they are. So we do touring shows. We try to keep them either low or no cost. We're doing Shakespeare in the Park style. Our shows in the summer are also done with only 5 actors. So I think that's something that artistically helps make the place feel a little bit more approachable. You know, you're not showing up and seeing 25 people in ruffs and collars, and they look so foreign to anything that's familiar. You know, you see 5 guys in sneakers run on stage, and we're all playing multiple parts. And the shows are very intentionally really playful and really accessible. So that's sort of been Starling's MO from the beginning is, you know, how do we get people excited about this thing that we understand they might have some hesitations around?
I wonder then, why outdoors? Why does Shakespeare play well outdoors?
Oh, that's a great question. I think, honestly, some of it is that a lot of the plays were originally performed like that. So if we're thinking back historically, Shakespeare had 2 theaters. He had an indoor and an outdoor theater. So there is a lot of nature built into the plays because we're referencing things like the sun when the sun is literally above our heads. I also think there's a sense of ease that comes with being outside. I think that, you know, when you have a group of people that are sitting on a picnic blanket, relaxing outside, I think it puts people at ease and willing to kind of have a little bit of a suspension of disbelief and kind of join in the play. For us, the audience is, you know, our 6th cast member. We can't do the shows without them. And so we're really bringing them in. We're talking directly to them. We're, you know, sometimes having them literally interact with the actors and be in the play. And I think being in that more casual outdoor environment kind of invites that. Mm-hmm. And creates that interactive environment that is really, really important and is baked into the text of Shakespeare since, you know, they didn't have the ability to dim the lights and have the audiences sit in the dark since that technology didn't exist.
Oh, that's really interesting to think about that. I wonder, too, Kristen, do you ever get distracted as an actor in the outdoor setting? Or how do you stay focused and yet you're at arm's length from that person sitting on a blanket in front of you?
Yeah, I think that for me personally, I thrive in that type of environment. Audience interaction is probably one of my favorite things about Shakespeare. And so I think not ignoring the fact that you're exhausted or that, like, you know, you're outside and you're sweating and things are happening and you can, like, share that with the audience and have those moments. And so I think the main thing is staying hydrated and, you know, stretching, like all those things to make sure that you're actually taking care of yourself being outside in the heat, but just incorporating the environment. And I think it helps to not have that idea of the fourth wall when something crazy like a fire truck starts going off or, you know, something happens where we all, the actors on stage and the people in the audience, have to acknowledge that we're in this environment where anything can happen. And so I think that helps include them even more because we're all in this together. We're all outside at this park, you know, doing this thing, whether that's being an actor or being in the audience as a part of the play.
We are talking about performing Shakespeare in the park in all the elements. Kristen Yates, their actor from the Starling Shakespeare Company, and Jesse Lillis from Starling as well. So you have brought us a sample from Twelfth Night. Jesse, set the stage for us, if you will.
Sure. So Twelfth Night is sort of Shakespeare's classic shipwreck, long-lost twins comedy. So in this situation, I guess, our heroine Viola is in disguise as the serving man to the Duke Orsino. So Viola has disguised herself as someone named Cesario. Cesario is going to court the Lady Olivia in the name of the Duke Orsino. But unfortunately for Duke Orsino, Olivia sees Cesario, the disguised Viola, and instantly becomes enamored. So in this scene, Olivia is really putting the moves on and trying to make some headway with Cesario. And Cesario slash Viola is doing her best to shut that down since she herself is also in love with Duke Orsino. So it's a bit of a love triangle situation.
Well, take it away. Let's hear a sample.
Stay, I prithee. Tell me what thou thinkst of me.
That you do think you are not what you are.
If I think so, I think the same of you.
Then you think right. I am not what I am.
I would you were as I would have you be.
Would it be better, madam, than I am? I wish it might, for now I am your fool.
Cesario, by the roses of the spring, by maidhood, honor, truth, and everything. I love thee so that maugre all thy pride, nor wit nor reason can my passion hide. Do not extort thy reasons from this clause, for that I woo, thou therefore hast no cause. But rather, reason thus with reason fetter. Love sought is good, but given unsought better.
By innocence I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall be mistress of it, but me alone. And so adieu, good madam. Nevermore will I my master's tears to you deplore.
Oh, yet come again, for thou perhaps mayst move that heart, which now abhors, to like his love.
That was brilliant. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. It's like whiplash. I mean, Twelfth Night gives
it really
me
is.
Absolute whiplash, figuring out, okay, who is paired with who, you know, what their identity really is. And I yeah. think it harkens back, Jesse, to this ability then for Shakespeare, you know, to be able to really kind of cast gender blind. And I can see how that would work with Twelfth Night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we talk a lot in sort of my background in Shakespeare is both performance and sort of academic and research focused. And so especially on the research end, there's a lot of work about, you know, who were the people that were actually performing these plays. And there were, you know, they had the boy players who would play a lot of the females' parts. But then you end up in these funny situations where maybe you have a young male actor who's playing Viola in disguise as a boy. So it's sort of this funny little web of gender-blind casting, which, you know, we're doing a lot of that in our shows, too, with only five actors. Everybody's playing multiple roles and multiple genders that may or may not align with how they identify. So, you know, Kristen is playing Viola and also Viola's twin brother, Sebastian, and Viola in Cesario. So it's a pretty funny and fun interpretation and way to do the plays.
Jesse, you've got a big tour here ahead this summer, including this month-long residency on Mackinac Island in August. What is special to you about performing in the Midwest, and especially on Mackinac Island?
Yeah, so I'm from Michigan originally. My whole family is from various parts of the Midwest, so I have a lot of love for this whole region. So, you know, part of thinking about in putting the company together and thinking about doing outdoor Shakespeare, if I'm being honest, I don't love extreme heat. So that sort of automatically excluded certain areas of the country for summer Shakespeare because it's just too hot for me personally. But I think that, you know, there's so many beautiful outdoor spaces here. And there's also a lot of places where, you know, we have kind of major cities and major hubs where there's a lot of access to the arts, but there are so many smaller communities, including, you know, like the one that I'm from in Southwest Michigan, and other places where maybe there's certain things that people have access to, but having Shakespeare and having it right there in your backyard for free is not always the case. So I think it's really fun to get to bring these plays to places that maybe wouldn't have it. Every time I have, you know, I'll see little kids in the audience and I'm like, oh, that was me, you know, a lot of years ago. It's nice to see that. And with Mackinac Island specifically, I feel like this story almost sounds like it's fake, but I promise this is a true thing. So I used to go there as a kid. You know, we'd have school trips. My dad had conferences there. So we'd go up and have vacations on the island. And as a pretty young kid, I was in the park in front of the fort on the island. And I was like, boy, it seems like there should be Shakespeare in this park.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty wild. So I started really kind of thinking about that and formulating that idea when I was about 18. And a little over, I think it was about 12 years later, was our first season on the island. So that one was a long time coming.
That's such a special story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Kristen, as we wrap up here, your first season performing with Starling, what are you most looking forward to as you go out on the tour?
I think I'm most excited to experience the different audiences and just to see how different age groups or different, you know, like cultures, like respond to Shakespeare and the story. I definitely enjoy performing for families and kids and seeing, you know, them get to have like this experience of Shakespeare in a different way with, you know, five people playing all the parts. I just think that there's something really special about that. And I think kids specifically there's something about the way that their imagination is still working that they can really buy in. And so, like, I think that those audiences are always a treat for me. But yeah, just to see how everyone responds to it.
Oh, Jesse and Kristen, thank you so much for joining us. All the best on these shows.
Thank you so much for having us.
We've been talking with Jesse Lillis, co-founder and artistic director of Starling Shakespeare Company, and actor Kristen Yates about their summer tour of the Midwest.
Starling is performing Henry IV in Green Lake on Saturday. You can find a list of performance dates and locations at starlingshakespearecompany.com.
A family-run newspaper in East Central Wisconsin is marking 125 years in business this month. We're going to find out how it's changed through the generations and its connection to the local communities that it serves.
According to a recent survey from Pew, Americans still see value in local news. We want to know, how do you feel about your local newspaper? Do you still have one? If one has gone away, do you miss its coverage and its place in your community, or not so much?
Call in. You can leave us a message. You can text us right now at 888-642-0232. That's 888-642-0232. You can also find that number at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today or email us, WisconsinToday@WPR.org.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.